Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, yo, Pro Wrestling Podcast listeners, welcome to the show where we don't sing it, we bring it. Help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And while you're at it, make sure you click the bell if you're listening in YouTube to enable notifications every time a new episode goes up live. Make sure you follow us on our Discord community, Pro Wrestling, and be sure to stop by www.tsj101sports.com, where the Pro Wrestling Podcast is the official wrestling podcast of TSJ Sports. But it's not just wrestling. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey, collegiate sports, anything you want to learn about, you could check it all out at tsj101sports.com. Hey guys, are you sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game every single year? Stop immediately and go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Pro Wrestling Podcast family and you want your name and your shout-outs like Mike and Lansdale, then make sure you check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Pro Wrestling Podcast, where you can sign up today and be a part of our loyalty rewards program. $15 a month contributors get to co-host an episode of one of our live shows, and our $7.50 a month contributors also get entered into a drawing to co-host a live episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live episode of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. We'll be taking your questions, your comments, anything you want to talk about while we're doing this show live. Whatever streaming service you're using, use the chat feature so your comments and questions pop up on the screen for me so I can interact with you live. Hey, if you got a little bit of stage fright, don't really want to call in right now, that's okay. We have the Pro Wrestling Sound Off line at 267-642-1160, and you can give us your questions, your comments, something you want us to talk about in a future episode, whatever you'd like, by putting your comments through there. We'll try to get to as many as we can in a future show. Don't forget to head over to the homepage of the Pro Wrestling Podcast at frowrestling.com and preview the topics coming to a future episode. It's a great way to come up with the questions that allow us to let you become a part of the show. So it has been a little while since we've had an episode up. With all this craziness, the COVID-19 thing going on, everybody on lockdown, the wrestling world is on hold, but that is not the case at World Wrestling Entertainment and at AEW, who are still trying to provide quality entertainment in this difficult situation that we're all in right now. This global pandemic is driving everybody crazy. And to be perfectly honest with you, part of the reason we felt we needed to do a live show tonight was just to give an opportunity to get in touch with our fans, get some content out there, and really just try to entertain you guys. Because let's be honest, you guys are the reason we do the show. We want you guys to stay informed about what's going on in the wrestling world, but we understand the real world is a little crazy right now. So we're bringing this to you tonight just to give you guys something to take your mind off all this isolation and toilet paper hoarding that's going on in the world right now. So let's talk about today's news, the reaction that WrestleMania, not only has it been moved to the Performance Center, but it's going to take place over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And then the latest word coming out is that WrestleMania will emanate from multiple locations, not just the Performance Center. Now, some people have been asking, Why would they do multiple locations? It's really simple. Quite frankly, we want to keep talents from congregating as much as we want anybody else to congregate. So if we can have 2, 4, maybe 6 talents at one location performing, and then have 2, 4, 6 at another location, spread them out around the country or even in multiple countries, gives us an opportunity to make sure that everybody is safe, they're healthy, they're able to do what they need to do, but do it in the safest way possible, still bringing top quality entertainment to the fans. This is going to be a strange WrestleMania. I mean, look, the card is starting to take shape and looks pretty solid, but without the fan interaction and the explosions and the pageantry and everything else that is typically WrestleMania, this is going to be an incredibly hard show to book for WWE. AEW also trying to keep shows going. They're on tonight. They're trying to do the best they can, and let's be honest, we cannot fault them for the programs they're putting on. I heard somebody earlier tonight talk about how when NXT kicked off tonight, oh, this is just a glorified recap show of the same stuff we've been seeing for a year and a half out of Tommaso Ciampa and Gargano. I get it, but what do you want WWE to do? Put their wrestlers in harm's way, not have them perform? They got to give you something, and they want to give you something exciting. So we're leading up to this big thing going on at NXT TakeOver anyways. It makes a lot of sense to take a Wednesday night, do this. Look, the global World Health Organization, the CDC, and all the people working around this COVID-19 thing have been saying that this is not going away anytime soon. We're hoping to get a handle on it so things can get back to normal. But in the meantime, we still want to be entertained. Now, I get it. You want fresh action, new matches. I understand, but that is not feasible right now. WrestleMania, we want to see the biggest matches of the year, the best storylines of the year. The only way WWE is going to be able to do that is to try to do it in the safest manner possible and not get themselves in trouble with any particular groups preventing people from congregating in large numbers. It just has to be that way. So this will be interesting to see how they make this out and how they map the matches and who wrestles where and who interferes in what. The word did come out today that Rob Gronkowski, who signed with WWE a couple weeks ago, is now the official host of WrestleMania. It's a great way to get him integrated into the brand. It kind of sends the impression that he's not going to get physical. I would suspect that something with Mojo Rawley happens where he comes out and gets in his face and Gronk levels him, but we'll have to wait and see. I think that this is not a signing where WWE is going to put Rob Gronkowski on the show every, you know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. This is going to be a special attraction thing. Much like, you know, when they were talking about Tyson Fury coming back again, that was going to be a special thing. Even the Goldberg appearances, you know, those are not your typical thing. The Undertaker, you only bring those people in for big, big shows. I know some people don't like that. I love the bit that AJ Styles has been doing for the last couple weeks on Raw and talking about the Undertaker is washed up over the hill. Why does he keep coming back? There's young talent who deserve those spots. I love what he's saying because it's all true, but let's be honest, it's WrestleMania. We want to see the biggest names, the dream matches, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. I do think they dropped the ball with AJ Styles this year. I love the match with The Undertaker. I just wish that match could have waited till next year, because this year, I truly feel like AJ Styles versus Edge would have been a bigger blockbuster because it's never been done. I feel like some people take this Edge and Randy Orton storyline and it's kind of a little bit flat because we've been there, done that in a distant past. I know it's been 10 years, but it's been quite a while since we've seen it, but it's still old news. We want something new and exciting and a dream match, and AJ Styles versus Edge is something that we never, ever, ever thought we were going to get. AJ Styles was never close to coming to WWE back when Edge still performed, and since Edge retired, our understanding has always been that there was no chance he would ever come back. I think that would have been a marquee match for the show. WWE obviously felt a different way. Now, if you had put those two together, what would you have done with The Undertaker? Who knows? To be perfectly honest with you, I'd have put him in the ring with Keith Lee, and I'd have put Keith Lee over and had that be the last WrestleMania moment for The Undertaker. It's time for him to ride off into the sunset, and it has to be with a situation where he elevates somebody new, or Aleister Black. He could have passed the torch to Aleister Black, moved on from there, but we'll have to wait and see what happens in the future. I hope that there's not too many more, not because I don't want to see The Undertaker. I do. I love seeing The Undertaker every single year. I think he really does get up for his matches, minus the horrible one with Goldberg last year. I get that, but generally speaking, he puts on a very good quality match no matter how infrequently he performs, and I just think that people jump the gun when they say, get rid of him, get rid of him. I want him to move on just because I kind of agree with the AJ Styles comments. we need to make room for a lot of these up-and-coming talents that really need a WrestleMania moment to help cement their legacy. Now, if The Undertaker wants to be there, put him in a tag match so a partner and two other guys get a rub from him or something. But let's move on from The Undertaker and his singles career. It's well past its expiration date. Moving on, I want to talk a little bit about Daniel Bryan. He's in the news this week. His contract is coming up in a couple months, and he's made it clear he does not want to be a full-time wrestler anymore. He wants to go more into being a dad. Not that he wants to give up wrestling, but that he only wants to wrestle once a month or once every 2 months or whatever, and he's going to reevaluate things when this contract comes due. If I were WWE, you don't wait on this. You get ahead of this. You say, listen, we respect you. We love having you on the show. Let's do this. Let's sign you to a new contract, and the only dates you have to work are the big four, and four other shows to set up those shows. 8 dates a year. That's less than one a month. Give him a substantial contract because he is a draw. But then the big thing for him is, and it's kind of like the situation with Edge, make every match matter. In the news today, CM Punk trolling people, talking about the things that would make him come out and wrestle once again. And one of those storylines was doing something with Daniel Bryan. If I was the contract makers for Daniel Bryan's next contract in WWE, I would find a way to get that Punk-Bryan match done at Survivor Series. First match, post-signing a new contract, put him in the ring with CM Punk. It would make Survivor Series every bit as big, if not bigger, than WrestleMania, because everybody wants to see Punk, and Punk versus Bryan in WWE ring is something that needs to happen. And that's something that Punk made clear he would come out to do if the right people called, made the calls, and did all that. But unfortunately, so far, nobody's done that. He named a few different wrestlers. You know, John Cena, he would talk to about coming out. Rey Mysterio, he would talk to. Will Ospreay, if there was a match offering somewhere in the world. At this point, we already know Will Ospreay signed for the next couple years in New Japan. So if he's going to wrestle Will Ospreay, it's going to have to be over there. But he's not locked into anybody. He can go wherever he wants. So I think somebody should put, you know, pen to paper, get on the phone, make that happen, pay him whatever you need to pay him, come up with a great storyline, let him come up with a storyline if you'd like, give him full creative control, because I think he would want to do something that was meaningful for the history of the business, not something that just blows up his character. Let's face it, he's never going to get more popular than he would be right now if he went back into the ring. Nobody. Stone Cold Steve Austin's return to the ring might not be as big as CM Punk's because there's been such a longer lag between Stone Cold leaving and CM Punk leaving. So hopefully we'll get to see something like that in the future, but none of it can happen if they don't re-sign Daniel Bryan and get his future plans under control. Want to talk a little bit about something I've gotten a lot of questions in the email server. By the way, if you go to frowrestling.com, there is a tab in the middle of the page where you could sign up to communicate with me via email, give me questions and things like that. And one of the ones that I keep getting is about how do I feel about Vince McMahon and WWE burying talent, and specifically Ricochet, Cedric Alexander, Andrade to some degree, Apollo Crews, and now possibly Shayna Baszler. You know, the rumor was heading into Elimination Chamber that he was going to bury her. Like, all these people who suddenly become jobbers because Vince McMahon looks at him and doesn't like what he sees. You know, if you look back a couple weeks ago, current NWA superstar Trevor Murdoch spoke about how Vince McMahon didn't like two simple things about he and Lance Cade and immediately killed their push. And that's a problem. When you spend months and months and months preparing talent, getting them ready, putting money and dollars behind them, and then you just instantly pull the plug because Vince looks through a curtain or on a monitor and says, yeah, I don't like this about this guy. Well, that's a problem. Lucha Underground, I'm just going to use them for a quick example, it was getting about 175,000, 150, 175,000 views on a great week over on El Rey Network. And a big part of why they got that was Prince Puma, also known as Ricochet. In New Japan Pro Wrestling, when he was there, he and Will Ospreay would put on these clinics of matches, and they would be some of the most talked about and watched matches on all of YouTube. Now, there's a reason for that. Ricochet can go with anybody. Doesn't matter who it is. The squash match to Lesnar, he can rebound from that. But if you start jobbing him out to people who don't mean anything, like this 24-7 loss, and then putting him on the main event, you're going to kill any momentum he had. Paul Heyman knows talent. He knew this guy was talented. He wants him to be a big piece of the Raw brand going forward. Same thing with Cedric Alexander and with Aleister Black. And for some reason, Lord knows why, Vince has to stick his nose in, or somebody, we all suspect just Vince, and change things. Stop. The old man is a wizard and a genius when it comes to professional wrestling. We would not be listening to this show or doing anything related to pro wrestling in the way that we do now without Vince McMahon, but he's passed his prime a long, long time ago. People question the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signing Tom Brady yesterday to a contract worth over $30 million a year because he's passed his prime. Vince McMahon is not Tom Brady at 42 years old. He's Tom Brady at 84 years old or 100 years old with how out of date and out of touch he is. He doesn't get it. Fans like Ricochet. Kids love Ricochet. And the problem that Vince doesn't seem to get is the day of the big muscle-headed freaks is over. People like athletic wrestling. It's 2020. We like to see the dives, the flips, and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I could go the rest of my life never seeing that spot where you have 15 guys fighting on the outside and one guy jumps on everybody and takes everybody out. I don't need to see that ever again. But I would like to see better athletics in the wrestling product itself. Drew McIntyre, incredible talent. I have no problem with pushing him. He's also a little taller, but let's face it, he's not a muscle-headed freak. Brock Lesnar, musclehead, but he's willing to work with anybody, and he's incredible at doing it, especially the smaller guys. So why are we afraid to push these small guys all the way through the moon? And this whole thing about squashing Ricochet, because that's the one that really irks my nerves. Ricochet and Bobby Lashley wrestled in the number one contenders match, leading to Ricochet getting that squash match. That was your chance to put Brock and Bobby Lashley together for a dream match that is the whole reason Bobby Lashley came back to WWE. At some point, you need to get that match done. If not, you've robbed the fans of yet another dream match that we'll never get to see. For example, Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart. Everybody knows WrestleMania 9, they were supposed to have a match at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship. Never happened. Hogan pulled cards or whatever. Something happened and Hogan was gone and it never happened. So that's a problem that you get these dream opportunities. Sting and The Undertaker. It was very clear. Sting said it this year that the time is winding down. There's not a lot more years left that he can get in the ring and go with The Undertaker, but he would do it to face The Undertaker. This is the year. It should have been AJ Styles and Edge, and you should have had The Undertaker and Sting. This was the year you could have made it happen, but they don't. They refuse to give us some of these dream matches, and I don't understand. I don't get it. Seth Rollins and Edge, another main event match. You know, this is the kind of stuff we have to look at. Instead, we spend so much time worrying about these old feuds, Randy Orton and Edge. You know, not necessary. We got to worry about the tag team matches that we've seen 400 times. We've seen the Viking Raiders. We've seen the Street Profits. We've seen Ackerman Razor, who, by the way, Razor is now injured with a torn bicep, so he's probably out of the picture altogether. What are you going to do, throw Buddy Murphy in there with Akam and put them out and challenge for the tag titles? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Get your time off the investment of the same people every week and give some of these other people some screen time. Put Ricochet and Cedric Alexander into a tag team. Andrade, put them into a tag team and have them, you're showcasing more people. Apollo Crews is one of the ones I feel the worst for. He's a little shorter than you'd like for a premium pro wrestler. No reason he can't be a solid mid-card Intercontinental or United States Championship contender. And he is incredibly fit. He looks great. He connects with the fans and they just won't push him. And it's insane. He is such an attraction when he was on the indies, and now you're just burying the guy. Move him back to NXT and let him do something of substance instead of burying him on the main roster, because I haven't seen the guy in months, and it's a ridiculous shame. Yeah, he shows up on SmackDown and gets squashed by Sheamus or something like that. That's garbage. This guy needs a solid backing. And the problem is you can't just send all these guys to AEW. That's not going to work either. AEW doesn't have room for 35 guys who end up leaving WWE. If that was the case, Conor and Victor would be there now. They're not. There's a reason they're not. AEW doesn't want a bunch of WWE cast-offs because then they become WWE Lite, which was what killed Impact Wrestling when they were at their peak. They tried to become WWE Junior, and it didn't work. These guys who need to stay in WWE but be showcased properly, and if Vince doesn't know how to do it, then it's time for... The problem is he controls all the highest percentage of the voting stock, so he's never going to lose his job. You know? He needs somebody to take control of creative and not have to filter anything through him and have it written into a contract. He's never going to do it. We all know what's going to happen here. Vince is going to ride this out until the day he dies, and then maybe, just maybe, Triple H, Stephanie, or somebody will step up and give us an incredible product. Or they'll sell it to Disney, which is the other rumor floating around that WWE may be for sale because Vince doesn't want to let anybody else get their hands on it. Absolutely ridiculous. Goldberg is Universal Champion. I was asked this in a question earlier and I didn't get a chance to get to it in the last episode we did. You know, look, the championship belts anymore are props. That's all they are. This isn't a legitimate competition. They aren't shoot fighting out there. I don't care who has their belt anymore. I really don't. When you keep putting a belt on Brock Lesnar who never shows up, you know, who cares? Like, for real. The only problem I have with Goldberg being Universal Champion is that I don't want to see The Fiend lose any momentum because he lost to Goldberg. So if you're going to take the belt off The Fiend, you better put it back on him at SummerSlam. I don't care who you give it to now. If it's going to be Roman Reigns, great. If you're trying to get Roman Reigns over by having him beat Goldberg because Goldberg's going to get all the boos, that's stupid booking to me. You should have ridden The Fiend into WrestleMania and had him face Roman Reigns and had him beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns doesn't need a belt to be an attraction anymore. People love the guy, especially when he's not champion. You don't need to put him in that world champion spot. We have other people who would be better off in that spot, including The Fiend. Then again, The Fiend is starting to get to the apex where he might not need it either. If you hit that, then you elevate someone else, Big E, or somebody who's never held that belt before, Big E. Just saying. Now, I'll see them doing it to Apollo Crews, but Big E, maybe they'll give him a shot. They gave it to Kofi, now I'll give it to Big E. Now, moving on from my complaining about burying talent and Goldberg as champion, which, by the way, like I said, I don't have a problem with. AEW, I have a little bit of an issue with their War Games style match. I feel like they're doing something that is really bad for business. You always talk about what's best for business. What's bad for business is to keep trying to do things that WWE does and try to do it better. You know, War Games, WWE owns it. I don't care who created it. Cody's got to get over this, my dad created this, so I should be able to get it mentality. Your dad created something for a company. He didn't create something for himself. He created it for a company, and that company was bought by another company. So now that company owns most of it. And if they copyright everything there is to copyright, and there's nothing left for you to take, I'm sorry, that's business. You can come up with other names unless you have no creativity. Now, I've seen the booking lately, and you and Tony Khan both have great booking style. So stop worrying about WWE pay-per-view names and stop worrying about their concepts. Come out with something new. And if you want to steal a concept, go back and do Battle Bowl the way that it was the first year in 1991. 40 guys, 20 random tag teams, 10 tag team matches, 2-ring battle royal for the winner. Because WWE's not using that concept. They're using War Games. They're not using Battle Bowl. Go get it. I don't understand this constantly going after WWE intellectual property and trying to use things that they're using. It's like you're sending viewers to WWE whenever your show turns off. That, to me, is a horrible business model. Just my opinion. I'm thrilled that AEW seems to be looking for more talent. I know they signed Colt Cabana recently, and he is also free to work elsewhere, which is very unique for them, which I don't suspect he'll go very many other places. Might do some more NWA Power stuff. He's been excellent on there. A little bit of Ring of Honor here and there. Maybe some New Japan stuff. I know he was supposed to be in New Japan Cup, and then that got canceled because it's the COVID-19. But I love that he can go anywhere, because that's a big thing. You know, you look at Chris Jericho, you look at Kenny Omega, they both have that power. Jericho's exercised it once or twice. Kenny Omega, not yet, but could in the future if he chooses to do so. Even the Young Bucks, I think, if they asked for it, would be able to do that. But this is a guy who, let's face it, Colt Cabana is not going to be a main eventer for AEW. So if he gets the opportunity to work elsewhere and pick up some great dates, why not do it? Put on some good matches. I know that WWE is hoping for a huge match at WrestleMania. Not sure that it's going to happen now with the COVID-19 stuff, but maybe we'll see it at SummerSlam, and that would be Sasha Banks versus Trish Stratus. I know last year they were talking about how this was going to be the end of Trish Stratus' career when she wrestled last summer against Charlotte. Now they're saying they want to have Banks versus Stratus. I think that would be an excellent dream match for the women's division, something that could really help bring old school and new school together once again. And if she's able to perform at a high level, why not book it? Pay whatever you got to pay, get the match done, add to the card, make it feel legitimate, especially if you're stretching it over 2 nights. I mean, in all seriousness, I think a 6- and 7-hour WrestleMania was crazy to begin with, but 2 nights of 4 hours, you could actually give us 8 hours of WrestleMania and put on more matches and showcase more talent. The only problem now is you got to find more locations so you don't have too many people congregating in the same spot. But this could be huge, and that would be a great match to help do that. A little bit of controversy in the news today, too, with Alberto El Patron. He swears that he's in conversations with WWE about a mid-2020 return. Other people are reporting that that's nonsense. WWE has not talked to him at all, neither has Triple H. He claims that he put bygones be bygones with Triple H years ago and that everything's good. He left on good terms. His situation with Paige is fine. I don't know what to read into this. He did at one point say he was semi-retired, but he would come back for one last run. I when he left in 2016, he didn't like how they were using him, and I don't foresee them using him at any higher spot on the card, so I don't know what in God's name he thinks he's going to do if he comes back. Maybe manage like a Sami Zayn kind of role. Maybe he could manage Andrade and all these, you know, young Latin stars. But then again, you got Zelina Vega doing that right now. Unless you're going to move her away from them and put her with her husband, perhaps. That might not be a bad thing. But we'll have to keep an eye on that. But at this point, I feel like it's closer to not happening than happening. That's just my opinion. Tonight, everybody finds out who the Exalted One was on AEW. I, for one, am just looking forward to that being over. I'm really tired of waiting to see, you know, who are they going to make the Exalted One? Who's going to be the one who, you know, comes out and he happens to be, you know, whatever the latest free agent signing is. That's really what it boils down to. Who's the newest free agent that they're going to bring in to be this Exalted One? Because at this point, and Ryback actually was in the news, you know, just today saying how you couldn't pay him enough money. You could not pay him enough money to be the Exalted One on AEW. And gosh, I don't blame him at all. You know, what an undesirable position that would be right now, because what are you going to do? You've been building up for months now, like, and let's not be stupid here. Everybody in the wrestling world has expected it to be Matt Hardy for the better part of forever. And now, you know, we're finally there. And if you don't make it Matt Hardy, people are going to be up in arms. If you make it Matt Hardy, it's like, oh, great. This is exactly what we already knew was going to happen. Like, this whole angle has been horrible from the beginning. It really has. You know, so, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I think that the whole angle has been defeated because of the way they've handled it. I think that the rumor was that they wanted to have Marty Scurll be the Exalted One, and then when he decided to re-sign with Ring of Honor, that totally messed everything up. Well, that I get that, but you shouldn't have started the storyline if you didn't have somebody on the books. You know what I mean? Somebody signed a talent that was absolutely going to fill that role. If you're not going to do that, then why in heaven's name would you put together such an in-depth storyline? It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it at all. So, you know, the whole point of the Exalted One storyline, I think it fizzled. It was dying a slow death. And now, you know, All Elite Wrestling tonight, you know, if you've been paying attention, There's all these vignettes that have been playing throughout the night, and it's beating a dead horse at this point. We need it just to be over and reveal what you're going to reveal, you know, because it's taken too long. You kind of destroyed the whole storyline. Moving on, because I'm over the whole Exalted One thing to begin with. Little bit of reaction on the Tessa Blanchard, Michael Elgin, Eddie Edwards Rebellion pay-per-view match. I think this is an excellent way for Tessa Blanchard not to take a pinfall and to get the championship off a female and put it back on a male. I actually suspect that it's going to be Eddie Edwards that wins the championship just because he's held it before. He did pretty well with it as world champion. But, you know, who knows? It could be Michael Elgin. Maybe they signed him and that was part of his signing deal, was he was going to be world champion at some point. I hope the Rebellion pay-per-view delivers as much in the same way. I know they've got some talents who are refusing to work until this COVID thing goes away. But now, if it lasts and lasts and lasts, they're going to have to do something to be able to make a living. So we'll have to see. But I think that's a great match to get the championship off a female and back onto a male competitor. Hulk Hogan getting in ring shape. I mean, if you saw the pictures, one, he looks older than dirt. I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to make fun of him or anything like that. But he is getting old, man. Like, seriously, seriously old. And the reality of the situation is he is in incredible shape, but I don't know if fans want to see him the way he looks right now. Of course, Bret Hart was in the news saying he's a phony piece of, you know. Bret Hart needs to get over it, man. Like, I get it. Like, there's some things Hogan did in 93 that really upset him. But, dude, like, move on. You know, it's 1993, 1994. We're past that. We're on to bigger and better things. Stop trashing him. Hulk Hogan is the reason Bret Hart ever had a job, okay? So let's move on. You know, you owe him a little piece of thanks for all the things he did in this business to give merchandising and to really take this thing on the road and go global and all that. A big part of that was Vince McMahon, and the other half of it was Hulk Hogan. And Bret Hart needs to just chill, you know? Hogan's a businessman. He always has been. He's done what's best for Hogan. It may suck, but that's just the way business is. You know, that's the way a lot of these guys do business. So, you know, I don't stress these things. I just don't. I think Bret Hart needs to get over it. The Undertaker, I wanted to comment the other week, there was the issue where WWE put out the best 45 female wrestlers of X amount of time, and they forgot Michelle McCool, The Undertaker's wife. Now they're using her name in these promos with AJ Styles, almost like they're burying her even more, which I think is really a ridiculous way to do things. I think what they needed to do was just man up, apologize, and not make it such a big deal. But unfortunately, they keep running with it, incorporating her into the storyline with AJ Styles, The Undertaker's match at WrestleMania. Horrible idea. Absolutely horrible idea. But if you're trying to burn a bridge with The Undertaker and make sure that he goes away and never comes back, they're doing a bang-up job of that, because that's kind of where we're at this point. So I think WWE needs to be paying attention. When The Undertaker responds to a situation like that, it's time for, you know, it's time for WWE to take a step back and be like, hey, listen, we really screwed up here. We're really sorry we screwed up, but we'll make it right. Then they did. But at the same time, you know, when you've been with WWE as long as The Undertaker has, you got to do more than just republish the same thing and hope that people don't notice. You know, that it's a little too late was what The Undertaker said, and he was absolutely on. So, I don't know. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. Moving on, reaction to the Davey Boy Smith, Jushin Liger, JBL, all these Hall of Fame announcements. Look, Davey Boy Smith is so long overdue, it's ridiculous. Dynamite Kid should also go in, not necessarily together, let's face it. They did split up way back in the early 90s, so they don't have to do both of them. I'm thrilled Davey Boy's getting in. Jushin Liger, for only having one match under a WWE umbrella, I'm thrilled that he's going in. And JBL, look, I know a lot of people can't stand JBL, and you know I'm very critical of WWE Hall of Fame when they put people in that don't deserve it, but let's be honest. He was a WWE champion, United States champion, he was an Intercontinental champion, he was a tag team champion. He's done all these things that, here we go again, Coco Beware and Hillbilly Jim, Nikolai Volkoff never did. They're in, so should Hebe. He at least ran the brand for a year, held the championship for a very long time. So I'm okay with his entrance. Davey Boy Smith is the one that really gets me. I'm thrilled for that. Now, the word is that those ceremonies may be pushed back to SummerSlam because of COVID-19, but we'll have to wait and see. But I'm still thrilled that they're announcing these names and giving them their just due. I wanted to touch on the belts versus titles debate that was going on the other week with Jim Cornette and Dash Wilder. You know, they're belts. You know, I understand the title is the name of the belt. They're still belts. They're meant to be worn. And I'm so tired of WWE acting like people are blind to the fact that they have these buzzwords they're not allowed to use on television. They're belts. They're not designed to hold your pants up, but they go around your waist. They're belts. Yes, it is the WWE Championship. It's the WWE title. But when you have said championship or title, you carry the belt. If you don't want it to be a belt, stop making it a leather belt with snaps to wear around your waist. If you don't want to call it a belt, make it something. Give them a trophy, which is going to look stupid on television. Do something else. Give them, back in the 80s, I remember that Mid-South Wrestling had the medal, the gold medal that was the television championship. Do that, and that'll look stupid too. Just call it what it is. And I love that Wilder and Cornette were going off about this, because that's exactly how stupid it is that WWE has anything that's on a banned word list. That's stupid. Moving on, though, I do want to touch on, I had some questions about some injuries. Nia Jax, ready to return, going to come back at any point in time, probably on SmackDown. Scott Steiner, we all know he had his heart procedure the other week, was back at an indie show this past weekend. Looks like he's, you know, obviously he didn't wrestle. He threw a few shots, but getting back to normal, thank God, you know, well-being to Scott Steiner. Congratulations to Billy Gunn, 9 years of sobriety. That's a very big deal, and I know that when he had his wild days in his early time at WWE, that was a challenge for him, but I'm thrilled that he's got things under control now and able to wrestle with his son, which has got to be such a rewarding experience for him. And I want to touch on one other thing. I got a question from somebody 2 weeks ago, I apologize for it being so long, about NWA's Thunder Rosa and where I feel she falls on the hierarchy of incredible wrestling talent in the world right now. And I'm going to be honest with you, for as small a promotion, and I say that because, which is a shame because the NWA has been around longer than anybody, but for as small a promotion as the NWA is, she's an incredible in-ring talent, and she's as good as most of the women talents in the world. I mean, really, she's wrestling with people who are much less than what WWE has to offer, and she's still putting on top quality matches. That's something that's challenging to do. So, my personal opinion in reference to this email that I received, Thunder Rosa if she ever decides to wrap up with the NWA and go somewhere else, AEW or WWE would be insane not to scoop her up. Ring of Honor also with their championship. You know, somebody snatch her up. Impact Wrestling, for God's sake. They've actually got a great corporation of female talent. Anybody who adds her to their roster adds legitimacy immediately. She's a mixed martial artist, she's a pro wrestler, and she's absolutely incredible. So that's my take on Thunder Rosa. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode where we'll run down the latest wrestling news and rumors. Make sure you give special thanks to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing any music and sound effects we use in our shows. Today's show is sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazle Games by going to prowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, maybe you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Frolife Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Frolife. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments with us tonight. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, make sure you check out www.tsj101sports.com for their latest articles on World Pro Wrestling. Check out my blog, Infro's Corner, on frowrestling.com. And make sure you stay up to date. Stay home, stay healthy, get off the streets, stay home, turn on that WWE Network, New Japan World, Impact, whatever, and check out some great wrestling action. But don't be going out, people. Stay home, stay healthy. Take care, people, and until next time, have a great night.